This is The Interview, featuring Pantera, Damage Plan, and Hell Yeah's Vinnie Paul. The interview starts with a simply remarkable Stanley Cup story. We talk about the NHL, the Dallas Stars, and so much more before we get to the music. We also talk about his brother Dimebag Darrell, Mayhem, and that infamous December day in Ohio. You aren't going to get the recap of the event because you can certainly find that elsewhere. This is about Darrell's memory and Mayhem's memory. This is about the band and the fans and the music. Vinnie Paul is a unique individual with a very unique perspective on life. Enjoy this conversation with Vinnie Paul. I'm Josh Cooperman, and I'm more than a little pleased to welcome my guest this week. It's Vinnie Paul. Vinny's known for a lot of things. Vinny's the co-founder of Pantera, Damage Plan, with his brother Dimebag Darrell, one of the hardest hitting drummers in rock and roll, and 8 years ago formed the band Hell Yeah, featuring Chad Gray, Tom Maxwell. 8 years, three records, a ton of touring. Hell Yeah is coming out with a new record, their fourth, Blood for Blood. Hey, Vinny, welcome.
Thanks, man. Great to be here.
Great to have you here. So, listen, I was excited to talk to you for more than a few reasons, but I wanted to start off with something that's a little out of left field, if that's okay with you.
Sure, man.
All right. So, I'm a huge diehard hockey fan. I grew up in L.A. We're out here in L.A. as well, Playboy Radio. That's where we're based. We recently celebrated the King Stanley Cup run here, and I've been telling a story for quite some time now, actually for like the past 14 years, that fortunately or unfortunately, you can either confirm or debunk right here, right now. So in 1999, I was working with the Dallas Stars, and we won the Cup, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so they brought in, NHL brought in the Stanley Cup, and I've got a picture of me holding the cup up, and my backhand is on the black the rim at the bottom of the cup, and I'm holding a huge dent in the cup. Okay, and I was working with Guy Carvino that year on a couple of projects, and the story that came back was Guy was on a balcony or by the pool at your house, goes to throw the cup into the pool, misses the pool, and it hits the coping.
Yep, hit the side of the pool, bounced right in. Me and Darian Hatcher and Craig Ludwig jumped on it and sank it to the bottom of the pool. The cup keeper was yelling, "You cannot do that! You cannot do that!" And we were going, "We just did. Enjoy it."
No, wait. Okay, so wait a minute. Back up a little bit. Tell me. So, okay, I'm going to back up a little bit more because this is fantastic. Thank you, by the way. All right. You guys, Pantera, wrote a song, Puck Off.
Actually, it was myself and Dime, me and the guitar player. So it was the two of us, but we called it Pantera just because it made it simpler for people to take the name recognition of it.
So it was just you and your brother?
Just me and Dime, yeah.
Oh, man, I love that.
What had happened was is I was out playing golf with Carboneau and Brett Hull, Craig Ludwig, Madonna. The day before the playoff game started with the Edmonton Oilers, the series with the Oilers, and about the 14th hole, Ludwig goes, "Hey, man, you guys ought to write a new song for us to come out to. You know, we're kind of sick of skating around to that same old song." They used to come out to this Joe Satriani thing that they played. And I said, "Well, thanks for telling me the first game of the playoffs is, you know, starts in like 24 hours, man." He goes, "Well, you can do it, you know." And I said, "Okay." So I went back, you know, I went called my brother who had been up drinking all day. And so he didn't get up till about 10:30 that night. And I said, "Dude, I got this idea in my head. Let's just lay this thing down. I know we can knock it out. And, you know, if they like it, great. And if they don't like it, they don't have to use it, you know." So I went down to the studio, and me and my brother laid the music down. And then there were three of us that chanted Dallas Stars about 156 times to really stack it, make it sound like a crowd of people. And we finished with it about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went by Ludwig's house. I dropped it in his mailbox and went on about my business, went back to bed. And the next day I hadn't heard from him or anything, and I was like, maybe they didn't like it or whatever. So I go to the arena, I get there, and as soon as I walk in the door, I hear the doom, doom, Dallas, doom, doom, Stars. And I went, wow, I just got goosebumps all over me. And they still, to this day, they still use that song. You know, and now it's a goal song. Every time they score a goal, they play it, whereas before, it used to be before every period. So it even gets used more now than it did back then.
That's outstanding. I love that. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because the connection between sports and rock, you know, now in baseball, and it's been for a number of years now with baseball players when they their walk-up song, right? So now it's not just the organ player. They get to play it. Yours was the first time, and living in Dallas at the time was really the first time I had ever had the chance to experience a band at that level writing a song specifically for a team. This wasn't about to sell record. This wasn't about selling records. It wasn't about downloads. It wasn't about the money. It was just you guys were into it, and you wanted to. The players wanted it, and this sort of came about. It's awesome.
Yeah, man, it was. From the day they came to Dallas, I became a huge fan, and the players were just such real people and so cool, and they always took care of me at the games and stuff. And so, when we did, it was crazy because I gave it to the team because I wanted them to have it. And then our record company, Warner Brothers at the time, came in and said, well, they got to pay us for this. And I'm like, no, they're not paying you for it. I gave it to them, and really went through a pretty big battle with the record label to get them to give it to them for quote unquote gratis, which means for free. And no, I've never made a penny off of it, never wanted a penny from it. I just wanted it to be there for the team. And I'm really glad they still embrace it to this day.
So am I, by the way. But tell me about that experience. So you're a performer. It's interesting to me. You're a performer. You and Dime put this together. You lay it down. You give it to the team. And the record label says, no, can't do that. Have to do this. As a performer, as a creative, as an artist, That must piss you off, and B,
oh, yeah.
And B, but from a business standpoint, you have to handle it a certain way. How did you approach that?
Well, I did it 100% on a friendship level, man. That's what I did it for. I never once thought about it being a commercial product or anything like that. I did it for the team, the players, and for, the fans, man. That's what it was really made for. And then, when the record label gets involved, we'd already used it. They'd already won the Stanley Cup, and then they were putting out their DVD, and they wanted to use it during the DVD because it's part of the story of the 99 Dallas Stars winning the Stanley Cup. And that's when the label jumped in and said, well, they got to pay us for this and all that. And we're like, no, they don't, man. We gave it to them, And it really was it took a lot of back and forth with them and for them to really understand that, we weren't in it for that. We did it for them. The thing's a minute and 20 seconds long,
Yeah, right.
And for them to jump in and try to take control of the situation after it had already been handled, and they've already sold millions and millions and millions of records by us and made gazillions and gazillions of dollars, and then for them to want to feast off of something like that, it really is a pisser and the downside of the music business, so to speak.
Yeah, but it all worked out. So tell me something. Now, I remember Game 6, triple overtime. How did the team wind up at your place?
Well, after they won the game, Ludwig, of course, he was my best friend from the team, calls me and he says, we're bringing the cup to your house, man. We're partying tonight. And I was like, no other bars were going to be open in Dallas. So, by the time they got back, everything was closed, and they just brought it straight to my house. And I remember every single player from the team made it except Pat Verbeek and Sergei Zubov. They were the only two guys that didn't make it. And I mean, that thing had more Crown Royal drink out of it than it's ever had drink out of it. Cases of it had more titty dances than it's ever had. I mean, it was just ridiculous, the party that we had that night. And I mean, it was just a thrill, man. For that trophy to come to Dallas was so huge. And it was, it was just a really special time. The arena was at Reunion Arena at the time, and it was a much more tighter arena. You were right down on the players. You could really feel and see and almost feel like you were part of the game when you were there. It was really, really exciting.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And by the way, your pool is in the shape of
a Crown Royal bottle, man. Shaped exactly like it. And where you unscrew the lids, the jacuzzi. And, I used to drink a lot of Crown, but nowadays I drink Sky Vodka. So they're all good, though.
That's outstanding. You come from a musical family. You have musical roots. Dime played guitar, you on drums. Your dad, Jerry Abbott, an accomplished songwriter. Tell me about, I've heard you talk about this before, and I think it's the coolest thing. Tell me about I Want a Little Cowboy.
Ah, man, I guess that's just a song that my dad kind of wrote about me when, he was playing country clubs, country bars, and he had quite a few songs that he'd written, and he's still writing country songs left and right. You know, he owns a place in Nashville. He also has a place in Texas. And, you know, he loves writing songs. He loves country music. And, you know, it always used to flip him out that his two sons gravitated to heavy metal and hard rock. But, you know, I think he caught on to what it was all about. And he's always embraced everything we've done.
Why do you think you went towards metal instead of country? The influence was to go towards country, obviously, because of your dad. You went towards metal, you both did. Why, and do you think that there's any country influence in what you've done since?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, there's Southern influence and Southern roots and all the stuff we ever did. I mean, if you really break down the riff to, like, Cowboys from Hell or something, it's a pretty hick, you know, kind of riff, you know? So, I think there's this band called Kiss that came along that kind of changed my life. And when that happened, I knew that was the kind of music I really wanted to play. And then, of course, Van Halen and Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, all those bands became huge influences on me and my brother. And, you know, that's really what, you know, we modeled ourselves after. And that was the music we truly loved.
You know, it's so funny you say that, too. And as an aside, we do live broadcasts for every home game of the LA Kiss Arena League football team. Have you heard of them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's funny. I find it interesting that, again, you know, it comes back to music and rock in particular and sports.
Man, you know, to me, the sport that goes along with heavy metal and hard rock music the best is definitely hockey. Man, they both have the same kind of aggression, the attitude, everything about them, and that's one of the things I really love about going to hockey games is when you go there, you hear just about nothing but rock. You know, you're not force-fed about the hip-hop or all the stuff you hear on the radio, this and that and the other, like you would at a lot of other sporting events, man. When you go to hockey, man, it's rock and roll, and it's an awesome thing. And I didn't get a chance to tell you, but congratulations to your L.A. Kings. What a job they did this year, man, being down 3-1 a couple of times and pulling that out. They played awfully good, man.
Yeah, it was outstanding. It was definitely fun to watch, that's for sure. And you know, another connection speaking of that, Hell Yeah formed in 07. You have a new record out. You, Chad, Tom Maxwell. This record's hard, man. What was the process like for you and this particular record?
You know, we felt it was a very important time in our career to make the very, very best record of our career. You know, it was we had put out three previous records. We'd done a lot of touring. We really kind of built the band from the ground up like we did with our previous bands. And this was going to be the turning point for us, you know. And so when we finished the Gigantic Tour last year with Megadeth and Black Label, we went directly into the studio. And at that point in time, we realized Greg and Bob weren't on the same page as us, and so we parted companies with them. And myself, Tom, and Chad just really hunkered down and focused and wrote the best songs that we could ever write in our possible careers, hopefully. And then we went straight into the studio with a friend that I'd met in Las Vegas, Kevin Cherko, who had produced the last couple of Ozzy records and Five Fingers and stuff like that. And I was really, really impressed with his work, and he really wanted to work with us. So once we got in the studio, man, just a lot of magic happened, and feel like it's the very best record we've ever made of our career. We're really proud of it. It came in at number 18 in the United States and I believe number 15 in Canada. So we're off to a rocking start, and we're out playing some tour dates right now. And we've got a really big tour coming up in September and October. We're going out with Five Finger Death Punch, Bull Beat, us, and a brand new band from Texas called Nothing More, which is absolutely fantastic. And it's just, to me, that's going to be the fall tour, man. If you get a chance to come to that, you better check it out, because that's all four bands are the real deal. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, that's great. And speaking of magic and metal, we're going to play Blood for Blood off Hell Yeah, the new record, Blood for Blood.
Let's do it.
That was Blood for Blood off Hell Yeah's Blood for Blood, the new record. You were mentioning before the song a little bit about the new tour. What's the tour called?
I don't even know the name of the tour, but it's Five Finger Death Punch, Volbeat, Hell Yeah, and Nothing More. So I don't know what they're calling it collectively, but that's the tour, and it's already sold out just about everywhere it's been. They're actually talking about adding 30 more dates to it, so it's going to be very successful. And it's like I said, it's going to be all four bands are the real deal, bringing it every night. It's just going to be a great time.
So tell me, Nothing More, band from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me because the way music is, it's cyclical. And you'll have a band come out 10 years after a band like Pantera, or 15 years later, 20 years later, and they'll tell you who their influences were, and their influences tend to be, in a lot of cases, regional. Texas has had a lot of metal bands come out, and both Pantera and not Damage Plan so much because you guys had one record, but Pantera in particular, you have influenced a ton of musicians.
It's, you know, it's pretty impressive to look back and see how many bands cite Pantera as a huge influence, and you can definitely hear it in their music. You know, when we were in the moment and going full blast, you know, we never thought anything of it. You know, we just were doing our thing, and let's make a record, let's go tour again, let's make a record, let's go tour again for another 2 years, on and on, you know. But really, after having a chance to kind of reflect on it and to be away from it for a while, it really was a very influential band.
Speaking of, let me back up a second. So before Hell Yeah, you formed Damage Plan with Dime, right?
Uh-huh.
This is right after – this is after Pantera breaks up?
You know, we never officially broke up. It was just Phil went off on his own thing and wouldn't tell anybody what his plans were, what he was up to. And the next thing you know, he's dogging Pantera every time he gets a chance, and his whole world is about Super Joint and about Down and – you know, we felt like the Van Halen brothers pushed in the corner when, you know, we spent a year and a half, almost 2 years, trying to figure out what was going on with the band, and it came to the point where we were tired of sitting around, and we said, you know what, we got to do our own thing, man. Let's put together a band, and let's go kick ass, and let's move past Pantera, and that's what we did with Damage Plan.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because you mentioned it a little while ago with some other current members of Hell Yeah. It's like being in a band, you're with family. You're with coworkers. You're with them for 24/7. There's no getting away from it. You have to rely on these guys to show up at recording times and show up at the studio and show up at writing meetings. And there's a lot, you know, I think most fans don't really think about the process, right? The mm-hmm. process that mm-hmm. goes into it. I'm trying to, you know, I love working with the people here at Playboy Radio, but I can't imagine being around them all the time. How do you manage that? And because you can't always just say, listen, you know what, Pantera isn't working out. Let's go do something else. Sometimes you have to force yourself. And I guess you forced yourself with Phil to a point where you just couldn't take it anymore.
Right, right. Well, you know, the cool thing that I've really loved about being a part of Hell Yeah is that we've all been through those previous situations with other bands, and we all really have embraced each other and really have made this a band where, you know, the communication is always there, you know, and we always do learn that give and take. You know, we know the differences and the things that, you know, make people who they are and what they are, and we all respect that. That's the most important thing, is being able to respect each other. And, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, most people can't stay married to one person for any length of time. How about trying to be married to four other people, you know? I mean, it's a pretty big deal, you know? So it is a family, you know, and I really enjoy it because I've never been married. I don't have any kids. I've always been married to my music, and being on the road, that is my family, the band and the road crew. I love it. I embrace it. You know, some people are cut out for this and some people aren't. You know, I see people all the time that I hate being on the road. I can't wait to get home to my wife and kids. I mean, that's not really what music's about sometimes, you know. I mean, it really is about the music and the whole nine yards that goes along with it. So you either made for it or you're not, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, too, the whole marriage and family thing. Pantera, 20-year anniversary of Far Beyond Driven, right? The re-release is coming out. And, of course, you know, every time someone mentions the band, Pantera, the fans always say they clamor for the reunion. They always want – isn't it funny how we want things that we had in the past or that we can't have anymore, and you sort of think back. It's like, well, you just sort of want to remember – what the good times were like back then. You had a quote which I thought was really interesting. You said, if I had an ex-wife and it was a pretty bitter split, you might not ever want to talk to her again. Who cares if everybody in the family and your friends want you to say hello again? It's your choice whether you want to do it or not. And I think a lot of people are selfish. They say, oh, he ought to just kiss and make up with Phil and everything will be cool, and then they can go get Zach Wilde and everything's going to be great. No, everything's not going to be great. That's a pretty pragmatic approach. I'm just curious.
I'm just being honest. That's just how I feel about it. You know, I mean, Let's take it to another level. Let's say somebody shot and killed Eddie Van Halen tomorrow. Should Van Halen go out and get Zakk Wylde to play guitar for him, and Alex Van Halen and Michael Anthony and David Lee Roth go out there and call it Van Halen? I don't think so, you know, and that's how I feel about it. It's just, it's a disrespect to me for people to think that that can happen. A reunion is bringing the original members back together, and that's not possible with what happened with my brother, you know. And so I really believe that we should all respect the legacy of Dime and the legacy of Pantera and just keep moving forward, you know. There's other things in life, you know.
You know, I totally agree. I think aside from a reunion, have you spoken to Phil?
No.
Do you anticipate ever? Is there any desire?
No, man. I mean, you know, I've learned a long time ago that if you burn bridges in life, there's no sense in rebuilding them, because you're giving a person the opportunity to burn them again, you know, and that's just how it is. I mean, if you care about somebody, you love somebody, you respect them, you won't go as far as to burn a bridge with them and then have to ask for forgiveness or have to ask to rebuild that bridge, you know. And I feel better in my life when I let those things go, you know. I've had situations where I felt like, all right, that's a burnt bridge and I'm not going to build it again and nobody's going to get a chance to cross it again. And that's just how I feel about it, man.
And so it almost felt to me when I was – so, okay, you and Dime start Damage Plan after Pantera. Different vibe, but extremely hard, melodic and hard, right? But the message was pretty clear. It felt to me and tell me if this is true or not. It felt like this was a – it almost felt like Damage Plan was you guys cleansing yourself. You know, you look at the song titles, Wake Up, Newfound Power, Reborn – featuring Zakk, of course, Save Me, and of course, Fuck You, Ashes to Ashes, featuring Jerry Cantrell. Was this a cathartic thing for you? Was this a cleanse? Was this to cleanse yourself of all the ill that had gone on with Phil and with?
It was just a new beginning, you know. I mean, we didn't want to make Pantera Part 2. You know, we wanted to make a band that was different from that. Obviously, we came from Pantera, and people were expecting that kind of vibe, and it had some of that there, but it was definitely different. And, you know, I don't listen to things in my past very often, but not too long ago, I did break the record. I listened to it, and to me, you know, it feels like it was ahead of its time when it came out. It was different. It didn't have the same, you know, formulas and stuff that we used in Pantera. It was definitely a new breath, you know, and I've got all the demos that we were preparing for the second record, and it was even a further step forward. So, you know, whether people understood it or not, it was what we wanted to do, and it's what we needed to do, and that's what we had to do, and we did it, man. So there you have it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been 10 years. December 2004, you survived the attack in Ohio. Your brother Daryl, Mayhem, Nathan Bray, Aaron Hawk did not. It's been 10 years. I don't want to talk about the incident, but you talk about legacy. Tell me about your brother Daryl.
Well, I mean, his whole life was built around making other people happy, man. He was just really, really, that's what got him off, was turning other people on, whether it was playing his guitar, whether it was signing an autograph, whether it was doing shots with people, whether it was just shaking their hand, whether, you know, being himself, just clowning around. You know, he really was the life of the party, and he loved to make other people smile, you know, and, you know, people ask me what's my lasting memory of him. You know, everything, of course. But the last night that we played together, we played in Buffalo, New York. We played a club. And we had a couple of guys from a Pantera tribute band that dressed up like myself and him. And they came up, and we let them get up and play Walk with us. And it was really cool. And when we finished the show, we had two shows left before the tour was over. And we like to go gamble and do stuff like that. And I said, you know, I came out to the bus. I said, Dime, man, me and Mayhem are going to go gambling for a while. Why don't you go with us? You know, he's like, oh, man, you know, I'm going to take it easy tonight. I'm going to lay down. We got two more shows. I want to go out strong. You guys have a good time. I'll see you tomorrow, you know. So me and Mayhem went to the casino there at Niagara Falls and gambled for a couple hours, and probably 3 or 4 hours, actually. And the bus pulled up about 4 o'clock in the morning to pick us up. And when we hopped on the bus was full of people, and there was a full-on party going, and Dime was sitting right there. And I said, dude, what's the deal? I thought you were going to bed. And he goes, oh, man, I couldn't let these people down. They wanted to have a good time, man. And that's just how he was. He just did not want to let anybody down on any level, and really that's the most important thing for people to realize.
I think it's interesting, too. You know, not only was Dimebag Darrell considered one of the best rock guitarists of all time, he was also beloved for his relationship with the fans. You guys have always fostered this amazing relationship with your fans. You know, three bands now. What? How does that work? Because you know what? It's a special thing. I don't know if you can explain it. I mean, some people say, look, it just is the way it is. I can't explain it, but it's unique. You know, bands will have fans, but not all bands will have fans and the type of relationship that you guys have always had with your fans. What is it? Can you explain it?
Well, I think it starts with the fact that we're fans ourselves, you know, and I've been a fan of music my whole life. I still go to concerts all the time. And, you know, I think people see us as real people. They see us as them, you know. They don't feel like we're unapproachable or larger than life or anything like that, you know. And so we've always had that kind of connection, and I love that kind of connection. You know, I love being able to, you know, get off the bus and people come up and say, hey, and it's just like a normal conversation. It's not like, oh, you're not worthy, I'm not worthy, or, you know, you're God, you know. I mean, it's usually just really down to earth and the real deal.
Where did the code Van Halen come from?
That was our code word for, you know what, don't worry about any mistakes, don't do anything but go up and kick some ass and have a good time. You know, the Van Halen was the greatest band of not worrying about being technically perfect, but everything about what they did had so much magic, and just, it really just is called having a good time. You know, sometimes you take things too seriously, and sometimes you want to play too precisely and too machine-like, you know, and, you know, we would always just give the knuckle punch and say, hey, man, Van Halen, let's go do it. And, you know, obviously people know that's the last two words we ever got to say to each other.
Yeah. Was that a thing with just you and Dime, or was that a band thing?
You know, I think with Damage Plan, it was a band thing. With Pantera, it was just a me and Dime thing, pretty much.
We're going to play another song off Hell Yeah.
All right.
Hell Yeah has a new record, Blood for Blood. Is sitting here having a great conversation with Vinnie Paul, drummer, founder of Hell Yeah. This is Gift off the new record, Blood for Blood.
Hell yeah.
That was Gift from Hell Yeah's Blood for Blood. Sitting here with drummer Vinnie Paul. Vinnie, you seem really content these days. It seems like things have sort of come full circle for you. And it's not like you've settled down, but just like you got that Matrix vibe working. You sort of see things coming. You've spoken about the writing. You've spoken about the record. You've spoken about the group. This is a group that, you know, you've been together for 8 years, fourth record now, doing really well. How are you feeling about things these days?
I feel great, man. You know, never felt better in my life health wise. I've never been happier since the tragedy that happened to my brother. You know, it's taken me a long time to really, you know, be able to learn to deal with that and to handle that properly. And you know, I really embrace everything he left me with. I embrace everything he left us with. And, you know, I feel like he's a part of everything we do, you know, and Hell Yeah, it's just my carrying the torch for the two of us, you know, and that's where I'm at with my life. And things are good, man. Things are good, man. And that's how I tell people all the time, man. You know, life's too short to not enjoy it, man. You never know when the last day is going to be. Obviously, we all learn that the hard way sometimes. But you got to embrace it and enjoy it, man.
The recording and the touring, the musician's lifestyle, do you still enjoy that as much as you used to?
You know, I still live it. You know, it's the real deal when you come out here with a Hell Yeah thing. You know, I still like to drink. I still like to have fun. I still like to go to strip bars. I still like to go jam with other bands, sit in with bands. I love to go to see other concerts. You know, I bought me a house in Vegas about 5 years ago because there's something to do every night out there, man. I love entertainment. I love all the entertainers in that town, and there's so many very, very talented people out there that just do so many different things, and it's something that's important to me. You know, I don't ever sit at home, man. The only time you'll catch me in front of a TV is either during hockey season or football season, or maybe if it's the playoffs in basketball or baseball. But other than that, man, I'm on the go. I want to go do stuff, and you know, life is worth living, man.
And the Stars are obviously your team. You still follow them, I assume.
Absolutely.
And who else do you follow?
Well, I mean, in the playoffs this year, you know, I followed the Stars, so they choked and gave up to Anaheim, what, 30 goals in 5 minutes at the end or something, I think we would have won that series if they could just held on. But that was kind of the story of the team all year long, just kind of choking at the end of games, you know. So I follow them, and I follow all the teams, you know, because I'm just a fan of the league, and I don't think there's a bad game, especially during playoffs. There's nothing more intense than hockey playoffs, period. But, you know, I started rooting for the Kings, you know, about the middle of the third round. I was pulling for them. And, you know, of course, I wanted them to win the Cup. And it was, you know, I will give it to the New York Rangers. They showed up the last game. They made them work for it, which was kind of nice to see. You know, they didn't get the sweep, and they didn't just carry it off with it. But it was great.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. And, you know what, I have a feeling you'd like this team. I think you'd like these guys. They're your type of hockey players, that's for sure.
Well, you know, I came to the game when they played at Dodger Stadium with Kiss.
Yeah.
And I was really, really, you know, it was cool to meet some of the players. I can't remember exactly all the ones that I did meet, but I did meet Sutter and some other people up in the, whatever they call it, the VIP thing or whatever they have up there. And it was really cool to see a hockey game at Dodger Stadium. I thought that was cool as hell. And of course, Kiss being a part of it was really cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Sadly, with that, we're about out of time. Listen, the new record, Blood for Blood from Hell Yeah, follow them online at Hell Yeah Band on Twitter and hellyeahband.com for tour dates and other band info. Follow Vinny. Vinny, you're not out there much on social media, but you are on Facebook, which I was happy to see.
I am on Facebook.
Yeah, you are. I'm Josh Cooperman with Vinny Paul. Thanks for listening. Hey, Vinny, thanks, man.
Thanks, brother.